Okay, our scripture text is taken from the Gospel according to Mark. Mark chapter 1, in verse 44, will be our text for this segment. See that you say nothing to anyone, but go your way. Show yourself to the priest, and offer for your cleansing those things which Moses commanded as a testimony to them. And let's set that scripture back within its context. We're going to return to a leper friend that we opened off with this morning. Now a leper came to him, imploring him, kneeling down to him and saying to him, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." And then Jesus, moved with compassion, stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, "I am willing, be cleansed." As soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy left him, and he was cleansed. And he strictly warned him and sent him away at once and said to him, "See that you say nothing to anyone, but go your way, show yourself to the priest, and offer for your cleansing those things which Moses commanded as a testimony to them." However, he went out and began to proclaim it freely, and to spread the matter, so that Jesus could no longer openly enter the city, but was outside in deserted places, and they came to him from every direction. So again, we're going to be focusing on the five words at the close of verse 44, as a testimony to them. Leprosy. In the Bible times, was an incurable disease. But yet, in the law of Moses, a whole chapter is devoted to its cure. In Leviticus chapter 13, there are instructions for the diagnosis of the disease, which was done by a priest. And in Leviticus chapter 14, there are instructions for the sacrifices required to thank and praise God on the day of the leper's cleansing. Now, in following the Lord's instructions, the healed leper would be a testimony to the fact that Jesus effected the cure. Since this was something that only God can do, it was a testimony that the Jewish Messiah had come and had been announced to the leadership of Israel. We have 3 points. First, we shall consider just a small sampling of the things that only God can do. Second, let us see what response we should have for what God has done for us. And third, let us learn that we too are called to be a testimony to them. So this morning, I submit to you a small sampling, a very small sampling, 5 things that only God can do. The first one is that only God can heal a man born blind. John chapter 9, verses 30 through 33. The man answered and said to them, "Why, this is a marvelous thing that you do not know where he is from, yet he has opened my eyes. Now we know that God does not hear sinners, but if anyone is a worshiper of God and does his will, he hears him. Since the world began, it has been unheard of that anyone opened the eyes of one who was born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing." Only God can raise the dead. John chapter 11, verses 38 through 44. Then Jesus, again groaning in himself, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay against it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of him who was dead, said to him, "Lord, by this time there is a stench, for he has been dead 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Did I not say to you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God?" And then they took away the stone from the place where the dead man was lying. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. And I know that you always hear me. but because of the people who are standing by, I said this, that they may believe that you sent me. Now, when he had said these things, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he who had died came out bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said to them, loose him and let him go. The third thing that only God can do is raise himself from the dead. John chapter 10, verses 17 and 18 reads, therefore my Father loves me, because I laid down my life that I may take it again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This command I have received from my Father. The fourth thing that only God can do is create a life. Create a life. We got beautiful evidence of that. Beautiful baby Isaiah over there. Psalm 139, verses 13 through 16. For you formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed, and in your book they all were written, the days fashioned for me, when as yet there were none of them. Now the fifth thing that only God can do, like I said, I got a sampling of the many things that only God can do, but I tried to pick the five big ones, and this one is really big. Only God can activate the new birth. John chapter 3. John chapter 3, verses 3 through 8. Jesus answered and said to him, Jesus having a conversation with Nicodemus, the religious leader, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? And Jesus answered, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. And so is everyone who is born of the Spirit. A second point this morning is the response that we should have for what God has done for us. How about a response of thanksgiving and praise? Our healed leper friend in our text was a believer in Yeshua, his Messiah. He was thankful for his coming among men and for the compassion that he showed him. So he went far and wide, praising the Lord for the mighty work that had been done in him. So let us join our friend in taking heed to the exhortation of David. Let us thank and praise the Lord like David thanked and praised the Lord. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is exalted. His glory is above the earth and heaven, and he has exalted the horn of his people, the praise of all his saints. Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Notice the response that our leper friend had of zeal, But let us respond when we respond to the Lord with zeal tempered by obedience. Now it is hard for us to fault our leper friend, for we can understand his zeal and love for his Savior. Nevertheless, we do see his disobedience here to the command of Christ. He was sent as a witness to Jerusalem, but instead, he went and he proclaimed his healing freely in violation of the word, "See that you say nothing to anyone." Let us learn then that since God's thoughts and ways are higher than ours, our actions must be in complete obedience to his word, lest his work be hindered. Christian, by your words and your conduct, you are either a help or a hindrance to the cause of Christ. No man, no woman, no action that we take is neutral. As our brother exhorted us from the Word of God, stay to the letter of the Word of God and you will do well. Our third point is that we too are called to be a testimony to them. Now, our leper friend's testimony was to be restricted to Jewish priests in that day. But our testimony, your testimony, is to be unrestricted and unreserved. So speak the words of this book, because we know that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. But give your testimony also, that others might be encouraged by that word. Romans chapter 10, beginning in verse 8. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Period. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him. For whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call in him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? That's why we're here, friends, today. And how shall they preach unless they are sent, as it is written? How beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Therefore, let us go into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. All authority has been given to Jesus Christ in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. So friends, let us all understand and let us preach that we are all sinners, fallen short of the glory of God, and that the wages of sin is death. But there's good news, that the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ, our Lord, our God, who demonstrated his love for you by suffering a horrible death on the cross, shedding his blood that you might live and have a relationship with God the Father. Not only now, but for all eternity. What then must I do to be saved? Repent. Believe the gospel, and you shall be saved. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for your testimony to us. Lord, may we be continually challenged by your word. May we take heed to the message, and may we not only hide it in our heart, but may we proclaim it with our lips. Lord God, we do not go out into the world and preach and evangelize them as much as we ought. Father, forgive us for those times where we've just missed those opportunities, those divine appointments that you've set for us. But Father, moving forward, revive us. Attune us more and more to your will, that we might be granted discernment as to how we ought to speak to each one. That in the end, the furtherance of the kingdom of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ might be promoted here on the earth. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.